We're gonna be in John chapter 10 today, I think. We're gonna review chapter 9. What do you remember most about John chapter 9?
When the blind guy comes back in the second time, tells the Pharisees, "What, are you gonna be disciples of him now?"
Yeah, John chapter 9, Jesus, how many times did he pick a fight with the Pharisees in John chapter 9?
Several.
And all of them were extremely entertaining.
I'll tell you something interesting. I always think of that verse about the blind man with the mud stuff on his eyes, because whenever, every time I make pies, I think of that story. Now, you want me to tell you why? You're probably going, "What?" My mother taught me when you're making like the pies, you have, if you just, you gotta put your dry ingredients in, then you put your eggs in, and you gotta mix those eggs up where it's pasty like that. Because if you just leave them in there and mix them all up together, you'll end up with scrambled eggs in your pie, kinda, you know, they'll be separated. And so every time making pies, and I put those eggs in there, and I stir them until they're a little, I think of that story.
That gives me a little bit of pause.
Is that stupid? But that's what I think of every time I make pies. I think of that. I think of that.
You know, Jesus used his spit to cook you that out there.
Yeah.
Did you spit in the batter?
No, I don't spit in the batter.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the eggs. It's the eggs. The eggs are the liquid. The eggs are the spit.
Oh, okay.
He was so curious.
Sometimes illustrations just go so far. All right.
Oh, well.
But, I mean, all...
All right, my praise today is that she didn't spit in the pie.
I'm sure everybody else that ate the pie was glad.
Yeah, and it's time. So what's your praise?
I go first.
Go first.
My praise is I thank God for the rain. I was working in my garden, and I listened to this. I'm working in the garden. I said, "Lord, I need some rain in here. It's so dry."
You got it.
Man, I got rain, and I got rain, so now I can plant what I want to plant.
It rained.
I know, it just rained. I said, "Oh, thank you, Lord. He's awesome."
And our guy got the yard mowed before it hit, so...
That's just gonna grow more.
Good. Praises. Francis.
I praise God that I'm feeling better. Got over that bacterial infection that had my intestines all twisted up.
Yeah, that's not a fun thing.
No.
Who else? Terry.
I had to work off hard this week, but I wound up with a fairly decent week at the end of the day.
Good, good. Eva?
I just wanted to give all honor and praises to God for me being able to feel as well as I feel today. I've been kind of under the weather, so have Dylan. He's been to the doctor about 3 times. And I tested positive, and the day after I came to church 10 days ago. And it took all of that time just for me to get myself together. And I just want to give God all the glory. I pray for myself, and I know when I pray for myself, I know what to pray for. And so I didn't ask anyone to pray for me, because I went to God on my own accord and asked Him to heal my body. And He's doing a great job, and I know He would.
Didn't know that was still around.
Amen. Who else?
I just remember seeing him today, yesterday. It's like spring, and I haven't heard of that one person yet.
That's the first part.
I don't know what they're talking about, but you got a praise? Go ahead.
I'll pray the Lord for first John 1:9.
We're just talking about, we're gonna praise the Lord that none of us are gonna get COVID.
Well, I don't know.
I stayed away long enough, okay?
It's still around, though.
It's coming next, but I know there is one coming.
Sunday that she came before she got sick.
Because I'm a sinner, and it's part of the process. But so far, so good. Amen. Sherry?
Praise God for our blessings this week with Lily.
I just remembered. I just praise God that my granddaughter was in a bad wreck, that she wasn't hurt, but her car was totaled. And I didn't even know it had happened until I called my son yesterday, and he told me about it. And I was like, scared me. And he said, no, don't worry, Mom. That was 2 weeks ago. And I go, well, thanks for letting me know. But anyway, that's
a little late.
Yeah, but she was okay.
There's some good friends of ours. In fact, we go way back. When I first came to Texas, they were one of the first basic Bible truth classes I taught. And they were involved in a serious wreck last week, but they came out of it okay.
They're just stiff and
it's pretty amazing.
Bruised feeling and stressed. Kind of freaked out still.
Well, it just reminds me that the Lord knows exactly how to get our attention.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, he can do it.
Yeah.
He can do it.
But she said that she knew that God was there and that he was protecting them. And she said, and I corrected every person who said, you're so lucky.
That's got nothing to do with it. It's God.
Absolutely. So we'll see how that all
goes
down.
We're grateful God spared them.
Yeah, she was my first friend after I got saved, my first Christian friend after I got saved. So we've been really good friends for 35 years this year.
Hopefully they will have the motivation they need to find the church up there and get in it and do what God says to do. What about you? Who else? Glenn?
I just want to mention Friday night when we were playing pickleball, and after it rained a while and the sun was kind of going down, and we looked out the back door of the gym there, and it just looked so beautiful. It was like everything was so green, the trees, the way the sun was hitting them. It was just a moment.
Some things, when they turn green, it's not pretty at all. Other things.
Yeah, right. Depends on what it is. It was just so beautiful the way it was kind of a gray sky, and the way the sun was filtering through, and it's just vibrant greens. It was just
Lord
amazing.
Showing off again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who else? Josh?
Praise the Lord, healthy baby, healthy mama.
Yeah. Butch is
growing good.
Taking his sweet time. And
Butch is listening to all y'all saying, I think I'm going to stay in here.
he's growing good.
I'm stubborn. Going to be a stubborn little girl.
Right. That's all right. But you come when you're ready, and I'll be right here to wrestle you.
Yep. It's a girl.
We are finishing up with chapter 9 of the book of John. We'll just recap a little bit. Jesus was hated, and they took up stones to kill him there in the temple. Aren't you glad that you come to church here and nobody's taking up stones to kill him? And I know that's happened in a few Baptist churches before, but not in this one. And so he, going through the midst of them, passed by. And as he passed by, there was a man that he walked by, which was blind from birth. And the disciples asked him a question. Who sinned that caused this guy to be punished like this?
His parents.
And Jesus said it wasn't his parents or his sin. So you remember, what did Jesus tell him was the reason?
Because he was blind to bring God glory.
So this was
glory to
about bringing the Lord glory. And when he had spoken that, he spit on the ground. And he took the clay where he spit and made a gooey wad out of it, stuff that Sparky does not want in her pie. And he anointed the guy's eyes. I don't know if he anointed the outside or the lids or the eyeball or what, but I'm thinking probably the
lids.
I don't know. I would think. I don't know. Could have been either one.
Or he could have said, open your eyes and put it inside.
He made a clay of the spittle and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And told him, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which had seen him that was blind, said, isn't this the guy that was begging by the side of the road? Some said, well, this is, he's like him. He looks like him. And then the guy said, I'm him. Therefore they said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? I mean, he's sitting there blind, and probably his eyes were probably clouded, but everyone knew instantly that this guy was blind. And they said, how were thine eyes opened? He said, well, there a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed. And I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. And they brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind. And then it gets good.
But before we get too far there, Pastor, what is the significance of the pool of Siloam? Is it significant?
The pool of Siloam was the, I'm pretty sure it's the same pool where the angel troubled the waters. The water once a year, and the first one in was healed, or whatever.
That's what I was thinking. If it was that,
I think it's that same pool. Matter of fact, that same pool is. They know the location. I don't think it was had any water in it when we were there, but the pool is identified and it's in one of the back streets of Jerusalem, where it can be seen. It's still there. The place is still there. So they brought him to the Pharisees. And then the cat gets out of the bag in verse 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. You know the Pharisees in the Sabbath day, right?
Right.
Yeah. Lisa?
Just as soon as I read Sabbath and made at the same time, it was like, oh boy, here we go.
Here we go, yeah.
And you do not work on the Sabbath.
And then the Pharisees asked him, and they said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. And others said, well, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. What did Jesus say about that when he said, told us why he came?
Since he can save that which was lost?
He came to cause division.
Yeah.
He did. He said so. And boy, did he do it.
Read him out.
They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, how that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said he is a prophet. Now, I don't know how to take verse 17 exactly. I don't know if the blind man said that he said, meaning Jesus said he is a prophet, or if the blind man said he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. All they said, you were just pretending to be blind, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So they called the parents in. And they asked him, is this your son who was blind? His parents said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. These parents were pretty sharp.
Yeah, relax him, man.
And he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. That's a pretty serious thing back then. Now people don't really care one way or the other. They get thrown out of church. They, you know, not such a big deal. It is a big deal, but it's not considered that by the world for sure. Then they called the man of the blind and they said, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." Well, they didn't. And they certainly weren't interested in God having the praise. But his answer was priceless. "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see."
That's right.
I had a situation just like that happened to me right after I got saved. I was working for a guy who was a deacon in the church house. And two other guys that were working alongside me were members of that church. And I'm a brand new Christian. And they started telling me stuff that I'm supposed to believe. And I didn't know enough to argue with them. I didn't know all the things about eternal security like I know now. And finally, it just got out of hand, and I told them, "Look, I don't know the answers to all those things. But one thing I know, I'm saved."
That's right.
And that Baptist preacher showed me how. So I'm sticking with him until I know for myself.
Good answer.
It should remind me of that when I see what this guy said. He said, "Whether he's a sinner or no, I don't know. But yeah, I know one thing. I was blind and now I see." And I didn't know a lot when I talked to those boys, but I told him, I said, "Well, I do know. I know I'm saved."
"You were blind and now you see."
Yeah. Same thing. And then they said, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He said, "I told you already. This is getting better and better."
That part.
He said,
right,
"I told
here.
You already. Did yeah. you not hear? Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you be his disciples
yeah.
too, also?" Then they reviled him. That's yeah. what the church Christ guys him. Did to me, by the way. "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples." Mm-hmm. Whose disciples are you today, folks?
Jesus.
"We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." And it just gets better. It's so good, it could get any better, but it does. "The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, yet he hath opened
in my eyes." Yeah.
Wow. This is his priceless. "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." That sounds just like somebody. Who's that sound like?
Nicodemus.
That sounds just like Nicodemus. He might have been. We don't know who it was. But it could have been him. "They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out." They threw him out of the pool. "Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" You know, that's another thing that reminds me of days gone by.
What's
that? Being cast out. You ever been an outcast? Not a fun place to be. But Jesus came and found me just like he did this guy. That's what he did. That's how it works. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
And the guy that stands up and said, I found the Lord. Either he doesn't know what he's talking about or he doesn't know what he's talking about. One way or the other. Jesus finds us.
Kind of like that line in Forrest Gump where they asked him if he found Jesus yet and he said, I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him.
I didn't know he was lost.
Well, I didn't really have any doubts about being lost. That I was pretty sure about. And I was right. But not after Jesus came and found me. And he answered, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. You think he snapped as to who it was at that point? It sounds like he did, and he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they and said unto him, are we blind also?
Yep.
It gets better again. Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. Wow. John 9 is a treasure. Absolute treasure.
Here. I got a question that just came to mind. The blind man talking to Jesus, and Jesus says, you know, do you believe on the Son of God? And the blind man says, well, who is he? Well, Jesus just opened his eyes. Who else could have done that? I guess a prophet could have. Is that what he maybe thinking he's just a prophet, not actually God? Or?
Well, I don't know. He never claimed to be smart. He just claimed to be blind.
Just can't be blind. Okay.
Joshua.
I like verse 40. I could be wrong, but it sounds like he's just telling them, if you're not lost, you can't be found.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a necessity of understanding that you're lost. Which I didn't, I told you, I didn't have any trouble understanding that I was lost. That Pentecostal preacher told me every time I was there that I had to live it in order to make it, and I knew I couldn't, and so I figured I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
So I walked out of there and never came back and decided I'd just go get whatever I could out of this life because that's all I got. But I didn't know Jesus was going to come find me. If I'd known, I might have stood still and waited a little better. But John chapter 10, you always need to remind yourself that there's no chapter marks and verses in the original context. This is just a story being told on a timeline. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you. And what does verily, verily mean?
Truly, truly.
Truly, truly. It
means you best pay attention. That's the short of it. He that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Please remember the sheepfold in Blanco?
Yeah.
You go up the hill, a little hill, and you turn right and go to the house. And right here on the left, there is a stone sheepfold that was built back, I don't know, probably mid-1800s.
A stone one?
Cecil saw it. You've
stacked
been up there.
Stone sheepfold.
It's a sheepfold. It's stacked. It's a stone fence. About the rock, about a little over a foot, foot and a half wide.
Yeah.
And it's this one about 3.5 foot tall, right? And it's a rectangle. Well, it's four sides, and in the middle of the short side in the front facing the house, there's a door. There's a gap about that wide. That's how sheepfolds were made. They were made with brush. They were made with natural formations.
And a big tree for hot days.
Yeah, there was a big tree right beside that door.
Well, they stay there. That tree probably wasn't there, or at least wasn't big when they built that thing. You take them in there at night.
But do any of you know how that works?
No.
Yeah.
Please tell us.
Sheep fall, so what do?
They push them through the door, get them in there, and then they block the door, sit in the doorway to keep guard.
They sit in the doorway with their back against one side of it.
If you don't have them to fold, then you got, it's hard to watch all four sides of the sheep all night.
Yeah, you put them in a fold, and the shepherd takes his cloak and puts his bedroll down. And so in John chapter 10, Jesus says, first of all, that he is the shepherd.
Yep.
And then he says he is the door. So which is it? It's both.
Yep.
It's both. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake of them. And then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not before to kill and to steal and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And again, a division among them. We'll stop right there, but there's some characters in this story, in this parable that Jesus put forth. You got the shepherd. Who's the shepherd?
Jesus.
Jesus is the shepherd.
You got the door. It's also Jesus.
Jesus is the door.
You got two more characters. You got a porter, and you got a hireling.
Every himself.
Who's the porter?
I don't know what the porter is.
Basically the shepherd, right?
Well, the hireling is.
Isn't it basically the shepherd? Porter?
Hireling would be the Jews, it would be the Pharisees. They're watching the flock.
In the parable, there's one, but obviously there are many of these. How do you recognize the hireling? Jesus said, by the fruits you shall know them. So what's significant about a hireling?
They're there for the money.
He that is an hireling, but and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. Well, I forgot there's another character. The wolf. The wolf is out to scatter the sheep, to destroy the sheep.
And is successful.
The hireling, he's the religious leader. Who would he be taking?
Be the pastor, or at that time it was the Pharisees, but
yeah. Who? But today, who would he be today?
The hireling would be the pastor.
Yeah. What kind of pastor?
Real ones.
The real one?
Bad ones.
One that believes in God's word.
Yeah. Well, one of the things about the hireling is that he flees, and because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep.
Catholic priest. Okay. Sorry.
That'll be one of those pastors that's you read about that just decides that'll be a good vocation, and so that's what they do, but they don't even believe what they're teaching.
They're doing it for the glory.
Would that be a sheep and wolf's clothing, or a wolf sheep's clothing type of deal?
Yeah. I have been accused of being a hireling.
No.
Really?
You care too much about
people. But I'm not a
hireling. They must have not spent too much time with you.
That's right.
Well, there's that. That porter? Porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out.
Also Jesus.
What is a porter? Like, not metaphorically what it's calling, what is a porter?
He's the one that opens the door and
the doorman
leads the sheep.
Raise your bag.
Should be like a disciple.
Maybe. The hireling is one thing, and the porter is the other.
The porter is a good shepherd that's not Jesus, and the hireling is a bad shepherd that's not Jesus.
What the definition is?
What is a pastor called?
Shepherd.
Besides a shepherd. There's a word.
Teacher. Master of the
He's called an under-shepherd.
An under-shepherd?
An under-shepherd.
Under-shepherd.
He's not the shepherd.
Under-shepherd.
But he leads the sheep on behalf of the shepherd. He's an under-shepherd.
So would that be a Ray Kennedy or a
Actually, if you allow me to say it without thinking I'm boasting, it's me.
That's what I was going to say. It would be you.
I lead the sheep.
The definition in John 10 for the porter is a servant who attends to what comes in and out a particular door to the kingdom.
Hey.
Sorry.
How you been?
All right, how about you?
I'm good.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm up. I'm good enough.
Good.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Come sit down.
Yeah.
Hi. Hey,
babe. How long has it been?
10, 11 years.
10 years.
Yeah. Well, welcome home.
Since you were a girl.
Yeah, actually, right.
I think I was.
17, 18. Well, 17 when I left.
The main difference between a hireling and an under shepherd or a porter is the porter cares for the sheep. The porter cares for the sheep. The hireling cares for the hireling. He's in it for number one. And he's number one.
One's there to serve, one's there for money.
Yeah. Well, they're not always there for the money. He's there for, I mean, what were the Pharisees there for? I mean, yeah, they
glory.
Part of the money, wow. But the recognition, the look at me, who I am, I'm the, you know.
The brown nosing.
Yeah. Now, I told you, I've been accused of being a hireling. If you want to insult an under-shepherd, that's the best way to, that's number one thing you can call it, if you wanted to do it. They insulted Jesus the same way. Remember last chapter? You do dishonor me, he says.
This is my husband.
Hello.
Hello, husband.
Come in.
Come in. We're in John chapter 10, if you're looking. And we're looking at the characters here in the parable that Jesus started out with, the parable of the Good Shepherd. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The porter has a vested interest in these sheep, obviously. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow. Sometimes they do. And it never turns out good. If you want to be wolf bait, just don't follow the shepherd. Or follow somebody else. Because a hireling will leave you for the wolf. Hirelings do not represent Jesus. They're in it for themselves. They want to control you. If you don't do this and this like I told you, then this is going to happen to you. There's a lot of preaching done by hirelings in this world today. And not nearly enough porters. Not nearly enough. Well, I take that back. Jesus, where do porters come from anyway?
The Lord knows.
Well, they started out as sheep.
Yeah.
Don't they?
Servants.
They're trained up.
And then the Lord promotes them into their position. He calls them. I remember the night that Jesus called me. Every preacher does know the time and place. It's real. If he doesn't have a calling, who would take this job? Purpose. Well, hirelings do, obviously, but
they want money.
Pastor, I want to mention something about the wolf. You ever stood next to a wolf?
Negative.
A wolf? A wolf. I mean, about a wolf. Have you ever stood next to one?
A real wolf?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I can't say as I have. Coyote or two, but
I have. And I'll tell you what, a wolf is something, it's not what you think it is. It's a lot more than a big dog.
Yeah.
The wolf is not. I don't know how the shepherds fought them off, to be honest.
It's sneaky.
I mean, they're serious. They're big, mean animals, what they are. Yeah.
The shepherd fought them off by being real good with that song.
Well, I know, but even so.
You better hit him right the first time. You're not going to get a second chance.
What was that you just said? Who would want this job on me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, think about it. I mean, a porter cares about the sheep. I mean, it's not because he's special or whatever. It's because of what God puts in him to do what he does. And when you care about people that much, you open yourself up for all kinds of pain and suffering. And they break your heart.
Yeah.
Happens all the time. If you're a hireling, you don't care. It's not going to bother you.